listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy.
Well, better late than never. At least I hope that that's the way that it plays out.
Howdy.
I did that part already. This is the Horn, headonradionetwork.com. We like to call what we do here conversation radio. And sometimes we are better at getting on the air on time, than others. This is one of those others times. If I sat down and tried to explain exactly why it was we were late getting to the air, me and that mouse in my pocket, it would sound like so much Martian. Suffice to say that sometimes, and for reasons that are not particularly clear, one piece of machine does not listen very well to another piece of machine. The NSA is apparently much, much better at this than I am. By the way, good evening, Agent Fred. You low-life, deadbeat piece of shit. I mean, I don't mind you listening into the program. We put it out there so that everybody can listen. But, I mean, come on. It's almost 10 years now, and you've never contributed. You're just sitting there listening. I mean, I like you and everything, but... Oh, by the way, that's Fred, P-H-R-E-D, Agent Fred of the National Paranoia Security Administration or Association or what the hell ever. No, but at least we're on the air. Agent Fred, keeping you safe at night. Safe from what? And since when, not to sound all teabaggy libertarian on you or anything... because I really, really don't ever want to sound like that. But since when is keeping us safe the government's job?
Yeah, we're going to keep you safe for freedom because they hate your freedom because you've got a mortgage that you're underwater on.
Yeah, I know. Thanks to everybody for letting me know that the magic wasn't working. I appreciate it. Thanks, Dr. John, for letting me know that it is now. Much appreciation. And by the way, let me start this evening with a big, humongous, giant thank you to Chad. I tweeted yesterday that we finished the week. About $205 behind from where we ought to be for the first week in June. And Chad just says, that's taken care of. And lo and behold, it was. So thank you. Thank you very much, Chad. That makes it possible for us to begin this broadcast week with sort of a clean slate. If we can keep up with fundraising, then the May and April holes have been filled in. We're standing on level ground. It's wonderful. Thank you, Chad. So here's the deal. We're trying to raise $150 this evening. That's what we try to raise on any given evening as we go forward, just trying to keep this little effort rolling. So that's where we stand. 15 folks at $10, 10 folks at $15. 2 at 75, 3 at 150, 6 at 25. Oh, you know what, yeah. 4 at 37.50. That's about as far as I can go with my gazintas. But it really is Moran Monday on the Horn. And, well, we really do have some nominees. And just so we can piss off the people who always get mad whenever I talk about sports, let's start with Marty's and Sparky's. Yeah, wait, we've got this. We may as well use it. Yes, absolutely. There it is.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic canvas, we have Morans to astound your imagination. You will not believe your ears. You will not believe your eyes. We have right-wing Morans of the violent kind, the crazy kind, the dangerous kind. Ladies, hang on to your purses. Gentlemen, keep your hands upon your wallets. Children should hold their hands at all times, and no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. Yes, for less than 5 cents. Less than 5 cents per hour of programming. We tell the Morans, but we can't tell them a lot. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits and Morans. So we will start with the sporting Moran nomination this evening. Both Sparky, who notes, and Marty, who notes that great minds think alike. Yes, the New England Patriots of the NFL have signed Little Timmy Jebo. Marty says, I hope Giselle is going to be watching her man's back. I will leave interpretations of that phrase to those who wish to do that interpreting. Ew. Just ew. I thought the hoodie was smarter than this. I mean, it's entirely possible that little Timmy Jebo could go to the Patriots and suddenly turn into a Hall of Fame quarterback, but really? I don't think so. So, there's that. The New England Patriots. I mean, they're in the same division with the Jets. I mean, could they not? Oh, God. What were they afraid of? But yes. Watch out, Pats fans. Because Tebow fundamentalist mania will be coming to Foxborough, and you will not be the better for it. Nope, not by a long shot. In the chat room, our chat room moderator Lottie noting, good, Boston will straighten Timmy out in more ways than one. I thought we agreed that there was no, that one. Yeah, you can't, no. And meanwhile, this being Moran Monday and everything, I'm kind of wondering if we've been played for the Morans again, and if we have willingly jumped into the circle of Moranity. I find the idea of being perpetually spied upon by my own government just a tiny bit. Oh, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for here. Soviet. But still, when I realize today that the hero of the breaking story of the great big giant massive government spying program is a, and I hope you've seen this by now, so it won't come as a shock, is a Ron Paul guy. And when I realized that, yes, Glenn Greenwald is a fellow, or has been a fellow, of the Cato Institute, again with the libertarians, I started wondering. Have we been had? Because there's something that just doesn't sit right. I don't know. I've been trying to formulate a theory, seeing as how all these right-wing repiglickins were as silent as the tomb while all of this was going on under George W. Bush, and are now outraged, shocked, I tell you, shocked, to find out that it's still going on, that government is still willing to spy on us, even though the administration has changed hands. I'm trying to formulate a rule. And this is as good as I've gotten. When a president promulgates a domestic spying regime and then leaves office to be replaced by a president with a skin tone darker than a paper bag, the domestic spying program of the previous white president has to be suspended until the dark-skinned president is out of office and a new white president who can be trusted to spy on the American people is in office. Because to be spied on by an administration directed by a dark-skinned president is intolerable to the American people. That's as close as I can get to anything remotely making sense out of all of this. Because, well, they were okay with it until the brown guy did it. And as long as they thought no one was watching, they were okay with it while the brown guy did it. Witness the fact that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was reauthorized just this past December, for heaven's sakes. And by the way, I just saw a Waggy in the chat room say, catch 22 much. It reminds me of something, you know my love of literature. It almost makes me feel like, again, it just runs my little paranoid hackles right up. This is just like Romper Room, you know, and I can see everybody out there. Everybody raise your hands if you have read Catch-22. Joseph Heller, brilliant commentary on the absurdity of war, right? Yossarian. We were talking not too long back about how Milo Minderbinder was trying to get Yossarian to eat chocolate-covered cotton because he'd bought too much on the Egyptian cotton market, and, well, he had a glut of cotton, and he needed to get rid of it, and it was for the good of the corporation and M&M Enterprises, and everybody had a share, right? Yeah, right. Thank you, Texas Betsy. Hands up. Yeah, I see Texas Betsy. So, what is the central core theme of Catch-22, this brilliant mid-century novel about the absurdity of warfare waged by giant nation states? Well, this in the book, and they tried valiantly to make a movie out of it, and they about halfway succeeded. Alan Arkin, Buck Henry, Martin Balsam, John Voight, Bob Newhart, Norman Fell. Oh, brilliant cast for the era. The central core plot driver that this novel, which is not traditionally structured, comes back to again and again and again, is that of, lo and behold, Snowden, who has a secret. And Snowden's secret is revealed in the back of a B-24 bomber at some point. That's, help him. Who? Snowden. Help him. So once again, life imitates art. But what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Snowden's secret is the fact that he was going to blow the whistle on this domestic spying program, or whether, in fact, Snowden's secret is the fact that this is all a great big joke on us. That once again, the progressives are up in a dither, and we are dithering with the very best of them, rest assured. That we are all up in a lather over the violation of our civil liberties, which this is. And we are being taken for a ride by a guy who follows and voted for a guy who well, you know everything that Ron Paul stands for, right? Yeah, you know, a silver and gold-backed currency. Things like nullification. Yeah, really, really ignorant, obnoxious stuff. Yeah, that's why Charles Pierce calls him Crazy Uncle Liberty. I'm just wondering, because we've been taken to the cleaners by the right wing on the with things like this a few times now. And I just can't get it out of my head that maybe we're getting repped again. And I'm really going to hate it if we are. Because one thing that comes out of this is that because of his prior conduct on the interweb tubes, however important this may be, it is guaranteed to be handled like, like a spat in seventh grade. Because Glenn Greenwald is involved in it, and if you go and look at the way he tweets and the little Twitter slap fights that he gets in, that's how he operates. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's wrong, but it does not speak well for his credibility. I mean, he kind of about halfway went all Alex Jones on poor little Mika Brzezinski today, for God's sakes. Now, I can understand getting a little testy with, say, Joe Scarborough. But this was just, this was weird. And by the way, it's Moran Monday, so we've got some Alex Jones for you anyway. And yes, we've got a Moran Monday nomination for Fox News in relationship to the beginning of the George Zimmerman trial for his summary execution of Trayvon Martin. That's in the offing. So Glenn Greenwald goes on Morning Joe this morning, which is, well, I mean, we've talked about Morning Joe. An intellectual... A rousing intellectual inquiry into the nature of things, it ain't. But just get this exchange between Mika Brzezinski and Glenn Greenwald. Mm-hmm.
Let's see this. Or let's hear it, actually. Let's make sure there's no commercial first. Yeah, there we go.
And tell us.
Of course, the president said on Friday, he says, I welcome a debate with those who disagree with me about these programs. So you can't talk about these programs publicly, so that's going to be a bit of a muted debate. Glenn, I want to continue on just how expansive this program has become and how it's even gone past the original confines of what people expected the Patriot Act to be interpreted as.
Now, okay, let's stop right there for just a minute. Who's the guy lining up on Glenn Greenwald's side on this? Because sometimes alliances do make a difference. That's Joe Scarborough lining up with Glenn Greenwald. You know what? And maybe something like this has never happened to you before. But if somebody that you utterly despise comes up and puts his arm around you and says, buddy, we're pals now. It feels really, really icky. And you begin to wonder if you're on the right side of the thing because the creepy guy has got his arm around you. Sudis! Oh, excuse me. It must be allergies. Sudis! But that's what happens there. I mean, you've got it, right? Yeah, Glenn Green. Joe Scarborough. Is it, did you know, and it's expanded beyond it's expanded beyond even the realm of what was in the Patriot Act, even though this is not a Patriot Act issue, this is a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act issue. But that's okay. That's okay. So now we know that that Joe and Glenn are buddies. Which is not at all surprising when you think about it, because, again, Glenn Greenwald is, if you become a fellow for the Cato Institute, that kind of means you think like they do, right? Yeah. So a libertarian fellow from a libertarian think tank finds a libertarian donor and supporter who's going to strike a blow for freedom. I'm sorry. This doesn't pass the smell test. Or at least the motivations don't. Now, the program itself is way past problematic. But it was way past problematic back when the New York Times sat on the story of it for a freaking year when it was being done under the Bush administration. And they sat on it in order to protect the Bush administration in advance of the November 2004 election, for God's sakes. How pitiful are our memories? I mean, do we for some reason think that Barack Obama used his magic Muslim Kenyan white people hating wand to make that program go away? Jesus. Okay, but anyway, so we know now that Joe Scarborough and Glenn Greenwald are going to be buddies.
And tell us.
Of course, the president said on Friday, he says, I welcome a debate with those who disagree with me about these programs. So you can't talk about these programs publicly, so that's going to be a bit of a muted debate. Glenn, I want to continue on just how expansive this program has become and how it's even gone past the original confines of what people expected the Patriot Act to be interpreted as.
Can I ask a question? And this is just a general social question. What the ever happened to Mr. and Ms. and Miss and Mrs.? Not that I'm some sort of authoritarian, but it's a term of respect. I mean, I don't think that Joe Scarborough and Glenn Greenwald have ever sat next to each other on a bar stool watching a Yankees game or something. But this is just, this whole country's on a first-name basis. Glenn, tell me, because this isn't just me being cranky on Moran Monday. That kind of stuff creates a false sense
of social equality and a false sense of camaraderie that is designed to make the rest of us feel like, what, that everything's okay, these guys are friends, they know what they're talking about, and there's no, you know, there's no overarching, what, there's no overarching structure. He's Joe, and he's Glenn, and we're all just buddies. So let's hear what the buddies are talking about. Sorry.
Jane Sensenbrenner, who is a Republican, very conservative Republican, who is the author of the Patriot Act, says this goes well beyond what he and others anticipated the Patriot Act to be used for.
And see, James Sensenbrenner can shut the up. Because there's not a hell of a lot going on here that wasn't going on under dim leader. But back then, we had a good white president, and white presidents can always be trusted, especially when they're white Republican presidents. They can be trusted to spy on us for our own good, but not the ones with the dark skin. Oh.
Can you give us some specifics?
Yeah, that's right. Pick your nose, Glenn.
More specifics about just how much more expansive from what you've told. I mean, I'm sure we're going to find, I'm sure we're going to learn much more.
Come on, Joe, I know you're buddies, but let the guy talk for God's sakes. All right.
Much more in the coming weeks and months, and so many things that we're being told right now will end up not being true as well, because that's the way stories like this go. But from what you know right now, how has this administration and the Bush administration expanded the Patriot Act well beyond what the authors intended originally?
This is going to be darling.
So let me just answer that in two ways. So when if you go back and read the debates about the Patriot Act when they were first introduced, the reason the Patriot Act was so controversial was because it was off the case in the past that in order for the government to be able to target individuals and convince a court to let them have access to their records, you had to have probable cause that the person was engaged in wrongdoing. And what the Patriot Act did was it lowered that standard. So it said now all you need is a reasonable basis to believe that the person is involved in wrongdoing before you can get their records. And that was incredibly controversial. It was considered a radical departure from the way that the United States is supposed to work. But even back then, nobody thought, and just go read the debates about the Patriot Act in late 2001, early 2002, nobody had any inkling that the government would ever use the Patriot Act not to target specific individuals. And
no, nobody ever had any inkling. Nobody, ever. Nobody. That's why there was nobody who was concerned about the Patriot Act back then. No, nobody was. No, they had no inkling. Nothing. Nada. No inklings. Got any inklings? Fresh out.
Hey, there's reasonable basis or probable cause to believe they're wrongdoing. But to use the Patriot Act to say this entitles us to collect records for every single American, regardless of whether or not we've done anything wrong. That was never the intention, even by the radical people who advocated the Patriot Act, that that is how it would be used. And that's what Senator Wyden and Senator Udall have been saying. And let me just say one other thing. More broadly speaking, what the NSA is, we are putting trillions of dollars into developing extremely sophisticated technology. The objective of this is to enable the NSA to monitor every single conversation and every single form of human behavior anywhere in the world. And if that is...
Whoa, really? That's a lot. That's a mighty big... That's a spicy meatball. That's what it's for, huh? And Glenn knows this. I mean, did they tell him this over at the Cato Institute? Because over there at the Cato Institute, they'll tell you that fluoride in water saps your precious bodily fluids too. Not to say that I don't think that there are spy, spook, creep types that wouldn't like to do that. But that's a lot of computing power. I mean, there's 6 billion cell phone calls per day in the United States alone. I know this because I was I was going back and forth a little bit with Ben Birch about this thing, and you know, Ben's one of those guys who knows a little bit about this kind of stuff, and you know, Ben knows molecules on a first name basis, you know, not like sodium chloride or anything, but like, you know, Fred and Bill and Howie and Louise. I mean, that's how smart Ben Birch is, and he's like, this is past a supercomputer's abilities. And so I began doing a little bit of reading, and there's stuff about this that doesn't pass the smell test. And I'll tell you, as a Southerner, as someone who was raised in a culture where we tend to talk like this, when somebody comes at me like Glenn Greenwald, rattling off that staccato rapid fire stuff, I begin to wonder if I'm being had, if I'm being conned. Yeah, Agnes picking up on this too. Wow, the whole world? Tinfoil hatters beware. Has anybody told Alex Jones? Well, yes, as a matter of fact. More on that later.
Something that we want our government to be doing, we should have an open debate about that,
this
not have it done in secret.
An incredibly important question that affects all of us. We have to put it in perspective. I want to bring Richard Haass in, but quickly, I just want an answer yes or no. Isn't it the case that reviewing of emails or any wiretapping cannot take place without an additional warrant from a judge and a review? I mean, it's not like there's haphazard probing into all of our personal emails. Can we put this into context so we understand exactly what's going on?
Okay, can we? Can we? Do you actually have to have a court order to be able to go into individual? Yeah, do you? I mean, that's a fairly straightforward question, yes or no. Guess how this is going to play out. Somebody's been in the Alex Jones playbook.
Yeah, I'll put it into context for you. The White House talking points that you're using are completely misleading and false.
How about that? She asks him a fairly simple question, and he comes back all Alex Jones.
Now you're using White House talking points.
Was that a White House? I don't know. It would have been interesting to actually have the answer to that question, but Glenn Greenwald's not up for it. Because procedure matters. Process, that's why we call it due process in the 14th Amendment. That's why we call it equal protection. But due process matters. Is this just a giant court of star chamber? And if it is, why aren't there 10 million people in the streets? Or is this something else that's, you know, one of those monstrosities that one expects to see ginned up and cranked out of an authoritarian empire state in something like, say, the 21st century? What's the name of that movie again? Hi, Randy. I was talking about the film Catch-22, but far more importantly, the book Catch-22. Yeah. So he asks, I know Isaac thinks she was giving him attitude, but I think it's a straight-up question. And it's certainly not a question that somebody who bills himself as a former hotshot constitutional lawyer should be afraid to field. Let's give that another listen. Oh, now, where'd you go? Oh, Lordy, this does get tiresome. Now, where has my audio gone? Well, sort this out real quick. Okay, that's right. And that's right. So, okay. Maybe if we reload. But I don't know if we need to. Because there's a thing that goes on in courtrooms. It's called credibility. And at this point in time, when he played the "I hear your talking points, Alex Jones" card, well, that sounds just a little bit, you know, nutty. But, right, you know. Oh, we'll be diddly. Where'd the audio go? Probably the same place that the first part of this program went. But it's a fair question. To look at individual data, do you have to have a warrant? Because this is the gathering of metadata, which is chock full of yummy information. There's no doubt about that. But, well, Greenwald did not acquit himself well on that program. And I admit to being skeptical of him. The man is severely lacking in credibility with me. Because he really is a libertarian. He really is cozy with the Ron and Rand Paul types out there. And while maybe some people are okay with, like, you know, delivering Rand Paul a box of chocolates and talking about how big Rand's testicles are and bringing him flowers and stuff for a bullshit stunt that he pulled that had absolutely nothing to do with stopping the drone program, I'm not. And if you've read a whole lot of Glenn Greenwald over the years, you know that he gets in these Twitter slap fights, which is way out below anything that, you know, a real journalist generally would do. I don't believe the guy. It's not that I don't believe him. It's like I said, he has no credibility with me. I absolutely am willing to give credence to the fact that there is a massive national security spying apparatus out there, and that it is run by the United States government. I have no problem believing that whatsoever. I find it odious. I find it obnoxious. And I find it offensive to the essence of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. But this is 2013. And that horse blew through the barn doors 11 years ago. But suddenly, it's an issue. Now, if I find that a little smelly, I just have to deal with that. If, on the other hand, and absolutely sure that that Kenyan Muslim is surely to God now going to start sending us all to his FEMA re-education camps, I guess that's okay, too. Because the one thing we can say about the United States of America in the year of our Lord 2013 is that this is an extremely, extremely screwed up place. The power of means that neither party can dare have something god-awful happen on its watch. Actually, it's more like the Democrats can't have it. Because, see, something god-awful did happen on the watch of George W. Bush. And you've still got Republicans out there saying he kept us safe. And you've still got Emory and Eileen out there nodding their heads like they're on Little Springs going, yes, he did, because he loves Jesus. Kept us safe, except for September 11th. But that was before we knew there was any such thing as terrorism. Yes. Jack in Shreveport pointing out, by the way, Bob, all a cop needs is reasonable suspicion to pull you over and start getting into your business. So them saying that's un-American is BS. It seems like an American driver would get more respect than a terrorist. Maybe. Yeah, probable cause. Probable cause means more likely than not. Probable cause to stop you in an automobile is having a taillight out, even if you don't know it's out. And then the fun starts. Probable cause is left of center, even if you're quite certain you didn't. And then the fun starts. This is an authoritarian proto, if not all the way, fascist state. And for people to sit around acting like the Bill of Rights means a goddamn thing to anybody except a multi-million-dollar corporation, that's childish. This is not that country. This is not that presidency. At all. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why it is we think it is. Jack pointing out with regard to Glenn Greenwald, I almost said, I saw him on the Today Show and he was rude to the female host again. I forget her name. I didn't see that one. But you know, in this clip, he sits there and nods, and Joe's his friend, and Joe's carrying water for him. Right. Man, this spring is hell. Goodness! But they're buddies. Joe and Glenn. And I'm just suspicious. And I love the way this one headline about this whole interchange. Greenwald, now listen, we've been kind of paying attention to the war on women, and this particular website has covered a lot of war on women stuff. And yet if it's something that they approve of, suddenly everything changes. Here's the headline from Raw Story. Greenwald smacks down MSNBC host's White House talking points. Even though there's no proof that they were White House talking points. See, what Glenn Greenwald did there was he assumed that Nika Brzezinski was too, you know, her being a woman and all, too goddamn dumb to come up with that question on her own. And so, in the words of Raw Story, he smacked her down. You know, because that's what a woman needs when she's, you know, when she's questioning an obvious expert like Glenn Greenwald. She needs to be smacked down. Oh, the double standards that go on and on and on. Yeah, right. See that? Yeah, that's exactly it, Lottie, in the chat room. Lottie, Bob, it only counts if it works against the Second Amendment. I don't like the idea that I'm spied on. And I have reasons to worry about it, just based on things like the very work that we're doing here. Then again, if I just tweet, I love you, to one of my children, or if I just text, I love you, to one of my children, or to my darling spouse, it makes me madder than F all to think that there's some overpaid little punk in the basement of the NSA who's reading that with us. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And this isn't about whether or not I have any special information. I don't. They're going to know everything. They'll see the big board. Even if the big board just happens to be the dry erase board in your kitchen that says, don't forget to pick up the cat litter deer. I find that odious, and I find it obnoxious, and I find it unworthy of a free people. But I also find it incredibly dippy to get upset about it because the brown guy was caught doing it. Because as far as I can tell, that's what this all boils down to. And I'm sensitive to that. I'm sensitive to it because I've been watching it happen for 5 years now. And it's getting a little tiresome. And it's especially frustrating when I see it happening and people on our side are all of a sudden all down with that. Look how quickly we get conned. Man, it's a hurry, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It sure is. So we were a little bit late getting started. And for that, I apologize. Working. Well, I'm just kind of happy to I'm happy to be here at all. In answer to your question, Isaac, no, I can't play the rest of the clip because the confounded machine is not cooperating. And I don't want to shut everything down and come back. Let's see if I can even play any music. Because it is time for a little break. We are trying to raise our evening's $150. So far, we are at zero. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So, too, the traditional mail address. The Horn, 1038 Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318. Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y-W-V, 25801. Yeah, I get it. Kevin just wrote in and said, Bob, if anyone but Glenn Greenwald and Rand or Ron Paul weren't involved, the way this whole thing has gone down is what troubles me most. There's definitely a hidden agenda here. I'm just not sure what it is. But rest assured, if Greenwald and Paul are involved, there's something not right about it. That's kind of where I am. So once, I guess what with the trial underway, Glenn Greenwald had ridden his Bradley Manning pony about as far as he could. So now he needs a new one. And lo and behold, just in the nick of time, there he is. Cynic? Yeah, I guess that's me. Sorry. Let's see if we can play any music either. Nope, not a damn thing. All right, we will take a break. We will go to radio silence. Maybe I'll try to restart this thing, because we got audio to go through on this More In Monday, and we'll hope for the best. So listen very carefully. Here in a couple of minutes, you're going to hear some Vivaldi or some Glockenspiel music or something. But that'll be because I'm shutting down and restarting. It's about 6 minutes past the hour. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Thank you.
found. The trial is underway. Do you realize that Glenn Greenwald used Bradley Manning to make a career? And now, with Bradley Manning on trial, Jesus, I hope something approaching mercy is meted out along with some very, well, you're a lot more likely to get justice, brutal, brutal justice under the Uniform Code of Military Justice than you are anything resembling mercy. But for the love of God, I hope there's mercy in there. Some measure of it. For a young man who has been used to no end. But any way you figure it, that gig is pretty much over. And Glenn Greenwald needs someone else to ride. He needs another back to get on. So now he's got Snowden. Help Snowden. Help him. Help him. Who? Snowden. Help him. Help Glenn Greenwald. All right, let's hear the rest of the clip.
I question the law. I question all the issues that this raises. I'm personally concerned as well, but I'd like to put this in perspective. Is the law being broken?
Yeah, the law was broken by one person, who was Mr. Snowden. Now, you might think the law is unwise. You may think the policy is unwise. And if that's the case, there are mechanisms for challenging it.
Well, I also think, I mean, the way the law is being interpreted right now is so excessive compared. There's no way.
Right, right. The way the law is being interpreted. See how that works? Because the law was being interpreted well under that good God-fearing, upstanding, Christian, white president we had. But now it's not being interpreted well because, you know, that one is doing the interpreting. I'm jaded. I admit it. This whole thing just stinks to high heaven to me.
There's no way in the world Congress would have passed this law in the fall of 2001 if they had known this is where
Congress
was going to end up.
Bull. Bull. In the fall of 2001, Congress was huddled in a corner, in a fetal ball, sucking its collective thumb. That's how we got the Patriot Act. That's how we got national security letters. How many people have been ruined by this that you don't even know about? We don't know who's been snooped on, unless we say all of us. But suddenly, there it is. Bradley Manning's trial underway. Yeah, it reminds me of that old Daffy Duck cartoon where he's Duck Dodger's private eye. And he says, I had just finished an old case. And it shows him carrying an empty case of beer bottles and throwing it out the window and saying, I needed a new case. Isn't it interesting that both of the alleged freedom heroes in this are kind of Ayn Randian? Isn't that even a little bit curious? And that they were, oddly enough, championed and discovered by a guy who was a fellow for a libertarian think tank? No? That's just a coincidence? Damn those coincidences. They're interesting.
Answers, though, to roll it back. That's the way things work. I wouldn't call it excessive. I would call it expansive.
Can I make a point?
Yeah. Sure, Glenn.
Regarding the question of illegality, let me just say this. The ACLU and other groups have been trying for 5 years now to go into court and challenge the constitutionality of the surveillance law by claiming that it violates the Fourth Amendment. We do have a constitution in the United States regarding searches and seizures. And the U.S. government has successfully blocked any challenge on the grounds that, well, we keep it a secret.
Really? Was it just for 5 years, Glenn? Just 5 years? Just during the time that one was in the White House, Glenn? Just 5 years? Or has the federal government been zealously defending its right to do pretty much whatever it damned well pleases with things like FISA and the Patriot Act for a lot longer than that. Is it just 5 years? How about that?
Is that we eavesdrop, and because we keep it a secret, no one person can say they've been eavesdropped on and therefore doesn't have standing in court to challenge the law. So if you want to talk about legality, the Obama Justice Department has repeatedly blocked courts from ruling on the legality.
Just like their predecessor, Department of Justice, did. But Glenn seems to have forgotten that. Isn't that convenient? See, I remember talking about this way back before Barack Obama was the president. And all that business with machinery installed in an AT&T closet. I seem to recall those whistles being blown before January the 20th, 2009. But maybe I'm crazy. That I don't know. Maybe some Tralfamadorians have been adjusting the timeline. Well, any way you slice it, Glenn will get a nice payday out of it. And that really is what matters, isn't it? Getting a nice payday. Isn't that what it really is all about? I mean, this is a capitalist society, right? Yeah. This in from Jack in Shreveport. Well, Glenn, a Cato fellow, and Snowden, as a Ron Paul supporter, would both be libertarians. So they would be pro-big business, pro-big profits, and want to have no responsibility to society or the government. I recall that the map of the Border Something program, maybe it was PRISM or both, showed that the vast majority of info gathering and content gathering was outside the U.S., where our constitutional protections would not apply, even to those corporate persons we have to deal with. The Financial Times this morning had an article saying that Obama had really screwed businesses and that Europeans were pissed because all their content would get read. Yet both Snowden and Greenwald, as well as the Americans who have spoken to them, have not brought up the effect PRISM would have on businesses at all. I finally saw a tweet where one guy on Fox, a guest I think, mentioned businesses. Every corporation is hooked into the net, and almost all will have a presence on Google, and many may be on Facebook as well. Just think if our government and the IRS could track all the financial razzle-dazzle that Apple did to use Ireland so that it pays almost nothing in taxes. Just think if all the money Mitt Romney hides all over the world could be tracked, and this applies to all the big corporations. And as we speak, negotiations are being held in secret on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Some of the smaller countries involved in the negotiations got nervous, and the Chile representative even walked out. Why doesn't Snowden even look scared in his interview? Well, he's working on that, Jack, because he's declared that he may be rubbed out at any minute. Marty, but Bob, your memory is much longer than most of the American people's. The Horn family commune's memory is longer than most of the American people's. But by God, I lived through the 8 miserable, hellish, constitutional, tormenting years of George W. Bush. And I'm not going to forget it just because some libertarian Cato Institute fellow with a close-cropped haircut and a nice payday says I should. This guy's a huckster. He's a hustler. Pure and simple. And the number of progressives out there right now who are lining up at Glenn Greenwald's little kiosk and paying their fee to go see the egress. (Laughs) I wish I was shameless enough to run a hustle like Glenn's. But I'm not. I'm not. But at least, according to Raw Story, patriotic hero Glenn Greenwald has smacked down Mika Brzezinski. Because, you know, that's what a mouthy woman needs, a good smacking down, right? This whole thing stinks. I mean, you know, like I said, let me just go back to this for a minute. I'm trying to sit here. 6. This is just some of the stuff that Ben Birch was telling me. He says there are 6 billion cell calls daily in the USA. No system less than this would ever deal with that. But making any sense at all of that kind of data can only happen if you target items within it. That is too much even for supercomputers. And when Ben Birch tells you that that's too much for a supercomputer, go to the bank with it. 6 billion calls every day is an immense amount of hay to find a needle in. To cross-correlate in time and space is days of work for each one day's data, and another 6 billion tomorrow. So not only is the idea, and you know, and Ben just says, yeah, you know what? We were all punked. And it wouldn't be the first time that Glenn Greenwald has punked people. You remember when he got in bed with Jane Hampshire? And then they pulled together, what was it called, the Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund that did absolutely nothing for Bradley Manning but was raising money for people who wanted to go out and holler about Bradley Manning? There are people, and I know it's difficult for some of us to conceptualize, but there are people out there who are so cynical that they will ride the backs of other human beings, and they will traffic on their misery to make a buck. Those people exist, and you know what? In libertarian land, that's just the free market, isn't it? Sure it is. Sure it is. So, there you go. There's something here. You know, with the thing you have to do if you're really going to run a good con is you've got to have an essential core nugget of reality. And then you spin the con around it. There's something here. There is a revolting domestic spying program that the New York Times sat on for one solid year in advance of the 2004 elections because it was covering for the Bush administration. That is very much real, and it didn't go away. And in point of fact, yes, the Congress got together and passed a law to make what was illegal at the time legal. It's the opposite of an ex post facto law or a bill of attainder. That was very real, and that is the nugget of reality here. But now, it's got an entire universe of horse shit woven around it.
Yeah. Horst writing in, somewhere in, he says, I can't help but ask, somewhere in here is a Jim Dandy Snowden's of Yesterday gag. Yeah, that comes from Catch-22. But after 48 hours or so, I'm darned if I can come up with it. Tell me it wasn't the first thing to cross your radar when you heard your pal Horst. And it really was. Où sont les Snowden's d'antan is the way it's laid out in Catch-22. Because that's a play on Où sont les neiges d'antan, where are the snows of yesteryear. And there probably is a gag involved, Horst. But you know what? You know why you're having a hard time finding it? Because we're the people who are having the gag run on us. We're the gag. We're the ones who have been punked. Really? Really? So enough of that. There is some craziness. So you heard the,
your talking points.
You know, you heard Glenn Greenwald go all Alex Jones. Well, let's go to the real thing, huh? Because this is kind of fun. For reasons known only to the bookers or producers of the program, for some reason, Alex Jones was brought on to a BBC program with a host named Andrew Neil. It was called Sunday Politics. And the fact that he was brought on tells me that, and if you're in the UK, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the American disease is affecting British broadcasting. Alex Jones has nothing to add to any dialogue whatsoever anywhere. I mean, it's really kind of one-sided when he screams at clouds now, isn't it? But lo and behold, the Bilderbergers were having their conference in Herefordshire. Herefordshire. I'm probably saying it wrong both ways. And some genius at BBC decided to invite him on this Andrew Neil's show with predictable results.
Every year, usually at a very posh location to discuss, well, who knows? Because, as you've seen, it's all very hush-hush. Guests include the likes of Henry Kissinger, the head of the IMF, and our very own Prime Minister, as well as Mr. Bowles. The PM joined them for this year's top secret tete-a-tete, which was being held this weekend in the Watford.
Sunny Watford.
It's where world domination begins. It's like Christmas for conspiracy theorists, including our Adam.
So now you've got some paranoid video and...
The masters of the universe and their critics have spent the weekend at Watford's posh Grove Hotel for the annual Bilderberg meeting. Could that be the Prime Minister? Did George Osborne and Ed Balls share a ride? Is that the boss of Amazon or of Google? Usually top secret, this year the organisers have released a list of the roughly 150 people in there and the topics they've been discussing, including growth, big data... and, current affairs. The protesters outside accuse this group of everything, from climate change to coups, but they're mainly annoyed about the lack of transparency. The man in the middle of the crowd is Alex Jones, king of the conspiracy theorists. Are there any conspiracy theories out there that you think are just too nuts and are just too extreme? How about these guys?
Yeah, I don't personally think they're extraterrestrials or anything like some people say.
Scary stuff, but this protest seems more like a slightly weird party.
It's just corporate megadeth
So we're here to destroy them all.
Yeah, dude with a ventriloquist dummy saying that. Oh, I'm glad to be getting away from Glenn Greenwald, because at least we'll have some fun here. Let's move into the fun part of this thing. Here we go. Okay, we're back with Andrew Neil.
An American shock jock, he's been campaigning for more openness at the Bilderberg Conference. David Aronovich, who's always snippy about conspiracy theories, he's a columnist for The Times. Alex Jones, you've been covering Bilderberg for a long time. What have you ever found
Absolutely.
Out about
it?
That piece you just played, there's nothing in the water. Hydrofluorosilicic acid in major Harvard studies has been causing a sevenfold increase in bone
What's
cancer.
What's that got to do with Boom. Bilderberg?
What have I discovered about Bilderberg?
The yeah.
No, he asked you, Alex, you goddamn dummy. He asked you what that has to do with Bilderberg, not what you've discovered about Bilderberg. The poor fool can't even understand a British accent. The first thing out of his mouth. No, it's precious. The first thing out of fluoride mandrake in children's ice cream. Fluoride. Have you ever noticed that I never drink anything but rainwater mandrake? Yes, I first noticed it after the act of love. I felt a certain emptiness. Mandrake, get me a grain alcohol and rainwater and whatever it is you limeys drink. God. Well, at least in his own way, he's more entertaining than Glenn Greenwald. Glenn's just fussy.
BC was able to get the documents decades ago that they helped found the Euro, which was actually a Nazi German plan to take over countries economically. No, that's on record. And I've interviewed
Yes, it's on record, Alex. It's on record in those books that only exist in the thin gray settlings that pass for your brains.
Members of the EU Parliament on the subject who are out there at the event.
But what's that?
3,000 people. They turned 1,000. Bilderberg is heavily involved in the EU plan and helped hatch it, and it is a Nazi plan. They had Lockheed scandals.
Nazis from space with fluoride.
Just like the big lobbying scandals right now in the 70s, and that's why the SS officer, Prince Bernhard, the founder, had to step down. Sure. It is the ultimate lobbying meeting while you guys have this huge scandal going on. Your prime minister's going there.
Okay.
Balls was just here, Bilderberg group member. We have forced them from cover to admit that there are puppeteers above the major parties.
David Aronovich. So now we know. Now we know that.
Yeah, get the pitch in. Get the pitch. It's no good if you don't get the pitch in. Oh, you got to get the hustle in, right? For a war.
Bilderberg has given us the Euro.
Yes, I mean, if you talk to Alex for any length of time, you discover all kinds of things that you didn't know about the world.
We've blown it wide open.
You have. You have
I know. Talking about video on the radio is like dancing about architecture. I understand that. But when he leans over at him in profile, says, "We've blown it wide open." Quick, get the Thorazine dart gun. Right.
Absolutely blown it wide open. But it leaves me with a huge question for you, Alex. And it's really, you have uncovered the New World Order, which is deadly. It's full of what you call people
exist.
Who are criminals. Well, this is what I'm coming to. It's full of criminals, etc., who seek to run the world and will kill anybody who gets in their way. And you are almost, or have been, a lone crusader powering against them.
How am I alive? Why am I alive?
Which is the explanation? One, they don't exist. Or two, you're part of the conspiracy.
No, let me tell you a story.
I say the first.
5 years ago when Obama and Hillary...
I say the second.
5 years ago when Hillary...
Do you catch that? The two dudes are speculating. It's either one, they don't exist, or two, you're part of the conspiracy. Aronovich says, I say it's one. And Neil on the other side, oh, I think it's two. Oh, God, this is precious. So once again, now notice, there's a reason we're running these two pieces of audio sort of back to back and in tandem. Once again, he gets a question. Is it one or is it two? I think it's one. I think it's two. There's not a hell of a lot of difference. Now, I mean, it's different content-wise, but in terms of style and approach and methodology, this is the same thing that Glenn Greenwald did on Morning Joe.
Anybody who gets in their way, and you are almost or have been a lone crusader powering against them.
How are you still alive? Why am I alive?
Which is the explanation? One, they don't exist. Or two, you're part of the conspiracy.
No, let me tell you a story.
I say the first.
5 years ago when Obama and Hillary...
I say the second.
5 years ago when Hillary and Obama were at Bilderberg and the Secret Service was there in helicopters, the New York Times came out and said I was crazy. There was no Bilderberg group meeting. And my wife got phone calls, and so did I, threatening to kill us. And the people said, and you better take it serious because you were just talking to your dad that was in the hospital. You better shut your mouth or we're going to cut your head off.
But
now, that no, that's
they
the,
were going
to
kill
that,
you, they would,
listen to,
they wouldn't
they listen to
the
everybody's
place.
Phone lines. They call up and harass people that expose them and tell them they were just talking about.
They're going to cut my head off. They're listening to my telephones.
See, it sounds so much more reasonable when Glenn Greenwald is smacking down Mika Brzezinski, doesn't it? But here's a pair of libertarians arguing the same thing. They're making the same argument.
They're listening to all of your phone calls. They called my wife, and they scared my wife.
Shame on whoever did that. Shame on them. Shame on them. Or maybe it's somebody helping run the this way to the egress hustle who placed the phone.
You'd better.
Yeah, Mrs. Alex Jones, did he happen to sound a little, the guy who called and said that you'd better shut up, did he happen to sound a little like Alex? Was Alex in the room with you? Yeah. See, I didn't think so. Jesus. I mean, that's... Let's go back in case we forgot.
Exist, or two, you're part of the conspiracy.
No, let me tell you a story.
I say the first.
5 years ago when Obama and Hillary...
I say the second.
5 years ago when Hillary and Obama were at Bilderberg and the Secret Service was there in helicopters, the New York Times came out and said I was crazy. There was no Bilderberg group meeting. And my wife got phone calls, and so did I, threatening to kill us. And the people said, and you better take it serious because you were just talking to your dad that was in the hospital. You better shut your mouth or we're going to cut your head off.
And see, to make sure everybody understands that it really was a phone call, Alex is holding up his little finger and his thumb against his head, you know, so that we'll know that it was like a phone call. Mother. I just finished an old case. I needed a new case.
Now, that, no, that's
they
the,
going to kill
that,
you.
They listen to,
they wouldn't
they listen to everybody's
place.
Phone lines. They call up and harass people that expose them and tell them what they were just talking about. There's no spy. It's like not
hold
in
on.
Germany.
Hold
the
on.
Only spy on the bad guys, huh?
You let him speak.
No, sir, Alex, I saw one of your ministers say this, though.
No, Alex, I'm here. I'm
tyranny.
No, shut up.
Shut up for a moment.
That's Alex Jones. He's not going to shut up just because you tell him to. He'll probably just see his website a little bit louder.
I'm here to testify that your head was not cut off.
Ladies and
are
gentlemen,
you sure
if
about
they
that?
Kill me, it turns me into a martyr. It puts big exclamation points on the end of what I've said, and I have put out a lot of information. There's millions of others that are exposing it. And we have mega banks that are getting $85 million a month of U.S. taxpayer money. Most of it goes to Europe and England. British taxpayers, EU taxpayers, have to pay to these mega bankers. They're right. In there setting this up. It's come out. And then the media distracts you with, look at a guy that's talking to a lobbyist.
Right.
When the real lobbyist is
going on. Listen, you're not going to dominate this. He gets to speak to you on the radio show. Should we be worried about Bilderberg at all?
It's kind of, it's mildly interesting, the Bilderberg Group, and it feels, doesn't it, when you were talking about it, and the film, slightly kind of out of date, as belonging to the era when you couldn't even admit in Parliament that there was a soothsayer, you know, when you called the head of MI5M or whatever it was they called them, and you couldn't admit to these things.
Yeah.
And so to the extent that it's...
You haven't been acclimated yet.
Did you
let him finish? We're in a police state, it's 1984.
Oh my God, you want to normalize it. Alex, how come you're here? If we're in a police state,
they actually turned back some of my reporters, but they didn't turn me back, and I was told this, they just didn't want to make a stink.
You think the BBC's part of the Bilderberg Group?
Well, you know, Winston Smith did work here. I mean...
Wait, what? Huh? Winston Smith did work here? Okay, I don't want to just run off half-cocked or anything, but... Winston Smith... Yeah, that's what I thought. Winston Smith is a fictional character and the protagonist of George Orwell's 1949 novel, 1984. Fictional character. Winston Smith did work here. Except Winston Smith. And I don't want to put too fine a point on this. Never existed. But just as, you know, just as he's not going to let somebody like Piers Morgan, you know, 1776, we'll go all 1776 on you, just as he wouldn't let Piers Morgan run over him. Well, he's not going to let these guys run over him either, right? The audio's gone buggy again. That sucketh. Let's see if it's gone audio on gone bad on other stuff too. Hold on. If it hasn't, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back. Your calls, lines are open. Hey, you know, this is a conversation radio program. 304-658-3333, and you're welcome to chime in. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Nope, it's gone squirrely there, too, which is going to occasion a restart, but that's okay. And you'll have a little bit of Glockenspiel music or something, and we'll come back. It's about 2 minutes before the hour. This is Conversation Radio. Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Brock.
Alrighty then. Everything appears to be working again. Sorry about the resets and restarts. I'm trying to understand why that had to happen. But maybe that's because it's raining outside. Or I don't know. We were very lucky. We had decent weather both yesterday and the day before. And in particular, well, there's a lot of stuff you can do in Washington, D.C. that's free. That's one of the nice things. I actually have this whole idea in my head about the dissing of D.C. being part of that whole overarching thing where the right wing has succeeded beyond their wildest imaginings in convincing us that, you know, we are disconnected from government. But we'll save that for another day. This is The Horn. Like I said, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I do believe that we have callers on the line, unless I'm sorely mistaken, we do, and I'm just waiting to establish the connection, and there it is, and just let me tell Agnes where we're going. And I believe Bill's calling from Ohio.
look around, yeah.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm still in Ohio, yeah. I'm doing all right, Bob. It's you know, when you get started on this kind of stuff, it just keeps sticking me with a needle about things that people never hear about. For instance, are you familiar with the Stalin famine that he created in Ukraine before the Second World War?
Yeah, vaguely, yes. Not as much as I should.
Yeah, I made friends with a fellow a couple of years ago, and he's Ukrainian. And man, did he filled me in on stuff I didn't know. There's one English history writer, Max Hastings, who is an expert in the Second World War, and I'm reworking one of his books for the third time, verbal history, trying to, because you keep missing stuff. For instance, when the Japanese seized Burma, a ton of rice that went to India in the British Empire was no longer going there. And about 3 million Indians starved to death, and Churchill did nothing about it. So these kind of things that happen are not new. And the problem with old Froggy, the gremlin there, he raises points, but he's hustling these points.
That's the whole point, Bill. All of this is nothing but a hustle.
Yeah.
You could do as well at the circus.
Yeah, because half of this stuff, I saw this a lot in the, I keep learning about it, though. I don't know if I told you, I just finished an audio book. I just hit the audio part of the library on D&D and Fool written. I think I read, this is the third, and this guy covered that whole Vietnam thing from the time the French came back in. And one thing I learned from Hastings' recent World War II thing with the Japanese, when they were controlling it, they wanted the Vietnamese to grow products that were good for the Japanese army, and the hell with eating. And there was about 3 million Vietnamese that starved to death during World War II because of this kind of crap. So it does happen, but there are guys who will jump all over stuff. Well, it's supposedly going on, and they're hustling too. And Froggy the Gremlin there, he's a hustler. You got that on the nose. And Glenn Greenwald, people send me stuff by him, and I have been suspicious for a long time of his, stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this guy really was paid to write for the Cato Institute. I mean, he just was.
Yeah, once you see that, you begin to get suspicious about it.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm real uncomfortable about the whole guilt by association thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm having a civil conversation with someone with whom I do not necessarily agree, that doesn't mean that we're in business.
Yeah.
But when there is an entire career's worth of history and pattern and practice, that's different.
It's a hustle.
And that's all I see when I see him writing about Bradley Manning. The Bradley Manning case is horrifying and heartbreaking. And I see a young man who has been used.
Yep.
He was used before the trouble started, and he was used after trouble found him, or he found trouble, however you want to look at it. And so,
when you're hustling, you need somebody to do the dirty work for you.
Yeah.
To get out there and take the. When I say dirty work, I don't mean that what he was saying was wrong, but it was saying there's this rope dangling here above your head, buddy. And if you say it, then I don't have to worry about that rope. And, in fact, I can find a way to make a few bucks off that rope.
You're right.
And that seems to be what goes on so much of the time now that it's hard to grasp some of this stuff is for what it is. It's a hustle. And, these news blocks on television are one hustle after another. What they do with that idiot in the morning is beyond belief. I don't know why the hell did they, whose idea was to put him up there?
Well, you know, he had to leave Congress in kind of a hurry, and
yes.
And that's one thing this that is seldom commented upon in the modern world. But in the modern world, when you no matter how bad the cloud under which you leave Congress, Bill, you land softly on your feet.
Yeah. Once you've made those connections, that seems to be the, you look at the voting records of some of these people and you say, wait a minute, you ran as a Democrat? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Because that's what I see, you know.
And of course, at least we don't have that problem with Joe Scarborough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Clinton zipper chasing right-wing Republican tool from the get-go. So anytime that I see him crawling in and getting all buddy-buddy and fuzzy with a Glenn Greenwald, I kind of know what time it is, don't you?
Yeah, there's a hustle going on somewhere, and we're in the middle of it. And it's like old Froggy. Yeah, well, he points at things that are wrong, but he points at them so obliquely, and he comes up with such.
Well, look, I mean, and this is not any kind of an aspersion, Bill, but you're old enough to have thought that.
Well, I'm old enough to keep learning something new. I mean,
well, no, what I'm saying is you're old enough to have thought W.C. Fields was funny before I was even born.
Well, there's some comedians that have a show on one of the college stations, and they haven't said anything yet that's made me laugh.
Well, what I'm getting at here is that which I frequently refer to on this program, and I call them Fields' Three Commandments. You can't cheat an honest man.
Yep.
Never give a sucker an even break, and don't smarten up a chump. Now, neither Glenn Greenwald nor Alex Jones nor any of these other hustlers are violating any of those commandments. But the thing is, the Fields First Commandment actually doesn't apply to the hustlers. It applies to the hustlees.
Yeah.
You can't cheat an honest man. You know, if you're walking by the three-card Monte game and you think you can win a couple of bucks... It's not just that you're dumb, it's that you are dishonest with yourself in your heart. You with me so far?
Yes, sir. And you know what goes around comes around. There were guys working municipal transit in Cleveland with the old three-card Monte game. I said, man, it's the modern equivalent of riverboat gamblers, I guess, riding the public transport, you know.
Yeah, the only thing, well, and the riverboat gamblers didn't lose either. The house never loses.
Absolutely.
And so with the hustles that the likes of Alex Jones and Glenn Greenwald run, well, there are people who get pulled into it because he plays into their prejudices.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And the Joneses and the Greenwalds, and really, they are of the same cloth to me. Okay, Glenn Greenwald is an Alex Jones who knows which fork to use on the shrimp.
Yeah,
and they play and they succeed by taking things that people want to believe and amplifying them and confirming their own biases.
Well, they call that organized religion somewhere, too.
Well, see, I was kind of going there, too, but you beat me to it, Bill.
I was raised that way. I mean, I had enough of that stuff to last a lifetime. Bob, I was an altar boy and a choir boy, so there's one for the book. Luckily for us, though, my dad was a musician in the 30s and 40s, and he had a buddy that used to come up to Erie, PA when he was playing up there, and the guy was a priest. Except when he went up to Erie... He was a guy in a nice suit and good-looking young guy and meeting a woman. And I'll tell you what, if the guy's got to do something, I'd rather go. That beats the hell out of chasing kids, doesn't it?
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, when I can at least understand his logic. You know, he was hanging around with women who were old enough to be drinking in the saloon with him. You know,
right. And I want to be abundantly clear about this domestic spying business. I have despised it and hated it and objected to it since we finally first found out about it after the New York Times decided to stop sitting on it for a year. Okay? I hate it.
You know,
I'm one of those people who will say, and say very plainly, that freedom is a messy business.
Yes.
You know, the advantages that totalitarianism has and fascism has is that it creates a very nice, tight, smooth, orderly society, at least on the surface, where the trains run on time and all the children have shiny little faces in school.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. When the trains run on time. Yes.
Right, but the problem is that if you want civil liberties, if you want people to be able to stand on street corners and say, well, no, if you want people to say, be able to say what they think in their everyday lives, you also have to a certain extent, tolerate the Alex Joneses. Okay?
Where does he come from, Bob? I mean, you know more about this than I do.
I honest to God don't know. I mean, he's out of Texas as it stands.
What was his career before he started running his mouth like a marionette?
Well, yeah.
And I these late-night talk shows I listen to through the computer, these non-sectarians, they're really funny. They really give you stuff to look at. You start scratching your head and say, I got to get out this station. It means let me find a sports event before I lose my mind and start talking like these people.
Right. Please, isn't there some curling on somewhere or some
golf
on the radio or anything?
Yeah, I know. It's scary how much. There's a guy working out of Akron. He used to play football for the Browns, and he's Mr. Gunn, you know, one of those guys. It's like, Bob, I was packing the heat before these guys were out of high school. But I took a chance every time I did it, but I was in and out of neighborhoods and places where there was always some, not always, but enough of the time there was some drunk that thought you looked easy like lunch. And when you, Bob, I'm 5'6". You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you're small. And you're up there on a stage. I remember one time they threw a couple guys out of the one joint, and I went outside, and they thought I looked. I left after I put one into their car. These guys were driving a beautiful restored 59 Caddy. They came back. I was home. They came back, and they challenged the bar owners and the bouncers, and that was a mistake. They got their car destroyed. It was amazing. So this, you take that and extend it out and put a microphone in the guy's hand. And this is what you've got going on today. So people who buy this stuff, Jones, I mean, how can they? The problem is.
I go back to W.C. Fields, Bill. The hustlers get away with the hustle because the hustle is predicated upon the desire of the hustlees to believe what they're being hustled on.
Yeah. Yeah, my problem in life is everybody I ever trusted too much ended up costing me a lot of money and problems. So that's just the way things are.
There's that old saying, Bill, that if something seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Is, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people for whom this story, this alleged story, allegedly breaking about the vast Obama conspiracy to take away all our emails, or whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who badly want to believe that. And because they badly want to believe that, they've got a Glenn Greenwald out there who's willing to provide them fodder. And so it becomes a sort of a feedback loop.
I've got a buddy who's a retired teacher, and he keeps sending me a lot of the same old emails, and half of them, you know, a lot of it's true there, the Colombian situation, and he's been talking about the USS Liberty. There's going to be a big acknowledgement of that little event in
68?
Yeah, the 67 war, yeah, because I remember sitting in an office chair listening on the radio to the beginnings of that 67 mess. And, you know, most Americans have no concept of a lot of this kind of stuff that happens, that really happens.
No, and you know what? It's the same thing as you know, a whole bunch of racists in the Deep South and elsewhere. I know that Obama was a spying on us, because that's how he's going to send us to his FEMUR camps.
Yeah.
Load the rifle, Arlene. Yes, Emery, right now.
Yeah, these people believe stuff that's almost too hard for me to believe.
Well, they believe stuff, Bill, that they greatly desire to believe.
Yeah. I mean, count the money is one of my mottos about life in this country, because that's what it's based on. When you hear the professor speaking about the constitutional formation of this country, man, did he open my eyes to one area where I was really not that well read. I just didn't know that much until I listened to him speak, and then you get the picture. And thank God for it. Well, God, thank God. Yeah, well, thank whatever the hell you want to call it.
Spaghetti monster, thank nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, but thank the world that there are people who speak the truth. I'll let you go, but yeah, this whole stuff is such a mess. And what's happened to it, the radio talk show has become a big hustle for people. I don't think you're one of them, because...
Bless your heart, it's not.
Well, yeah, your bank account says otherwise, Bob. I had a government check on that, and they, I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah, no.
Well, I wish somebody would check on mine and see why I'm spending so much money. I don't understand it either.
Well, that's, you're a bluesman, Bill, so you're living that life of indolent wealth.
Well, I gotta get a new printer on my computer. I bought one that was almost impossible for a guy with poor eyesight to use, so I've got to get a simple little device again, you know, and one of our friends helped me out an awful lot, so with being able to type when you can't see that well.
Yeah.
Now, I'll let it go with that, because there's other people in line, but yeah, it's half the time when I hear this stuff, I don't know whether I should feel like a complete moron, or are they complete liars, or is it a little bit of both? I'm not sure.
Well, my only suggestion on that, Bill, is to ask yourself that question. Is this too good to be true?
Yeah, if it is, it usually is, yeah. I don't know how much you've read, if you know about L. Frank Baum, the guy that wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy. One of his, I don't know if I mentioned this, one of his books, I think it was called A Road to Oz. He only wrote about six or eight of them, and then his granddaughter after he died. And he, Dorothy and her people are trying to find their way back to Oz, you know. And they come across an area run by the Flatheads, who were some kind of cute creature. And just as the name implied, they had no place for their brains, so they carried their brains around in a can strapped to their belt. And the guy that became the supreme dictator of the colony, or this group of people, was the guy who went around stealing everybody else's can of brains. Now, remember, he wrote this before World War I.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is, well, he's writing at sort of the first apex of the progressive movement.
Yeah. Well, he was involved in the women's voting movement, and I read his biography, and there was writing about him. Some guy in Pennsylvania had control of the railroad, so they'd ship only his oil. And you can take a guess on what the man's first name was. John.
Yeah, sure.
His initial was D.
Yeah.
In
some ways, the worst thing that ever happened to L. Frank Baum and his Oz series was making it into that incredibly charming, yet to a 4 or 5 year old, incredibly terrifying movie.
Yeah, well, I saw that probably the second time it came out in the late 40s. I saw it. It was released in 39?
Something like that. It was a bomb when it was first released, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, everybody and their cousin watches It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas. That thing was a total box office disaster.
I had an uncle who worked for a company that did film transit. You remember the days of the first run movies?
Yeah.
They had all these neighborhood shows and drive-ins and such, and he transported the film from one place, one studio to another, and now, of course, that's a long-gone job because of the use of videotape and stream it right into your house, you know?
Right.
But so I had a good look at my uncle was really an expert on who owned what studio and way back to the founding of these companies. And so much of the movies are used good propaganda, you know, good source of propaganda. I still haven't figured out why the kids are so hipped on the zombies. Zombies in the 50s were a humor point. Abbott and Costello Meet the Zombies. And I guess they went to the Republican convention in 52. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll let you go.
Bill, you have a good evening, my friend.
You too. Good night.
Bye now. Our buddy Bill calling from Cleveland. We'll go back to the phones in just a minute, but I got to share an email with you that came in from Philip. Because Philip always has, he always writes good stuff. Philip writes, Glenn Greenwald is a parasite sucking the blood of young idealists and exploiting their naivete to promote his own career. He hides under the protective shield of the First Amendment for the press while Manning and others risk their careers, lives, and freedom. His commitment is to sensational exposés, not the truth, and he provides no context, only shocking details. We on the left need to reject him and his exploitation of youthful willingness for self-sacrifice. In his ambition, he reminds me of Bob Woodward, who craves to be an insider and now is as pompous as any other Sunday morning pundit. The only benefit of Greenwald's use of Snowden is that just maybe the government will stop enriching the... See, nobody raised this issue, but this is good. This is good. This is why we had to get to this email. The only benefit of Greenwald's use of Snowden is that just maybe the government will stop enriching the corporate clones at Booz Allen and Hamilton and hire federal employees who will perform the same work for much less. There will be federal whistleblowers, as there always have been, but they will not be short-term dilettantes with delusional complexes about preserving the rights we've already willingly forfeited through the alleged Patriot Act. What is so despicable about Greenwald is that he confirms the paranoid theories and cynical hatred for government of the far right. Where were he and his ilk when the Patriot Act was shoved through out of reactionary fear and anger without proper vetting before the public? Where were the in-depth discussions of the trade-off of rights for police state security? Apparently, there were no dupes in their 20s who had sufficient knowledge to offer analysis and insight before we forfeited so much of our via our alleged representatives. Would Greenwald risk his career by focusing on the issue then and expressing his own views directly? No. He needs a foil to protect his freedom. So let's line up the usual suspects for this news cycle before we move on and Snowden pays the price without any coverage for being exploited. On the other hand, Snowden was a well-paid contractor, and the scandal resonates like Blackwater and other scandals regarding well-paid hirelings of generous campaign contributors. Snowden and other hired thugs are shocked, ever so shocked, by the blood on their hands for which they were so well compensated. It's like a scene out of Casablanca. Yet Congress attacks career civil servants mercilessly and accuses them of disloyalty and venality in the performance of their duties. No endless hearings for or denunciation of the executives at Booz Allen and Hamilton because they will cooperate with the investigation. Such are the efficiencies of the private sector contracting and outsourcing. Of course, the larger questions of why Booz Allen and Hamilton is so generously compensated with tax dollars and how we not only repeal the Patriot Act but regain sanity about the risks of living in a relatively free country will never be discussed by the likes of Greenwald or the mainstream media. In the meantime, real journalists like Jeremy Scahill and Chris Hedges investigate and inform without mainstream media coverage because the real facts of what is happening to our civil rights and the acts done in our name in other countries are so tedious and time-consuming. Worse, Scahill and Hedges offer no ready-made martyrs to speak earnestly before the cameras while Greenwald and his ilk garner the accolades. Instead, they put their own asses on the line. Be well. Signed, Philip. Yeah. Think about the contractor angle. Consider that. consider the degree to which this latest Greenwald business plays into the trope, the meme of the right wing and the libertarians of the government gonna get you. Just consider it. Don't for a moment assume that it's okay to have our civil liberties trampled. It's not. It's not at all. But if we do not understand where we came from, how in the are we going to figure out where we're going? And to sit there and blithely pretend that this became a problem on January the 20th, 2009, because remember, Snowden said, well, I didn't vote for President Obama. I voted for a third party, read Ron Paul. But I hoped he was going to do differently, and I waited. So Snowden, I mean, this is an act of monumental ego. He stood in judgment of Barack Obama, just as Glenn Greenwald does. And, well, you know, what a good, God-fearing, upstanding white man can do. Well, it's America. Brown folks can't do that. And let's understand that loud and damn clear. I got a solution. And it's kind of a harsh one, but, you know, maybe the libertarians will be down with this. Let's ditch the entire national security paranoid apparatus. I'm not saying all national security, but let's ditch this paranoid apparatus and deal with freedom as the messy business that it is. Because what is that possibly apocryphal statement allegedly attributable to Benjamin Franklin? Those who would trade freedom for security. Yeah, how's it go? Now I got to go look. We'll go back to the phones in a sec. It would help if I could type. But there it is. Those who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither. Well, guess what we're finding out? That old horn dog wasn't kidding. He was not kidding. Let's go to Jeremy, Agnes. You there, Jeremy?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, how you doing?
I'm here. Well, not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good.
That's good. Regarding Peter Welch, like I said, I gave both of his offices a call, his personal line here in Burlington, and to D.C. D.C., he doesn't have voicemail. That's ironic. Here at home, he does, but D.C. doesn't have voicemail. It's personal voicemail there, so they took a detailed message, and like I said, they seem to know this bill pretty well, so I'm hoping there's some pressure on them from other than just me.
Well, I'm trying to work that side of the street as much as possible. Hopefully we'll get some other folks up that way making calls too. And maybe they've already happened.
I told them they'd be hearing someone from someone shortly that said that they had people that talked to them, so they know that's gonna happen too.
Good.
But regarding this NSA wiretapping spying thing, I don't know if you remember, probably back towards the beginning of this whole fiasco, not with Obama, but with Bush, when some of this started leaking out, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, they all said that they had these basically sniffer packets, which they could salt in certain of the data, and it would go after keywords or key phrases set or typed or entered or whatever you want to say into the data stream somewhere. Now, is that true or is that not true? Because we heard earlier that it might be theoretically impossible to do any of this stuff they're saying they're doing.
Well, that's the problem. It's hard to know exactly what is or is not going on because of the cloud of secrecy. And secrecy is inherently damaging to any notion of democracy. But the minute I say that, Jeremy, I got to loop back to the fact that this ain't one and has never been one. And if the history of this nation makes clear that democracy was the last thing on anybody's mind. So,
right.
So my only point with all of this is to ask why people are suddenly being so shocked by Glenn Greenwald's hustle. Why are we surprised?
Talk about it.
What's it? You know, what's he bringing to light that nobody knew? Are we that naive? Are we that simple?
I think as a collective, the country is that naive and is that simple. I mean, look at the way newspapers are written. Look at the way the news is done. It's all done on less than a fifth grade level so that the real idiots out there can take it in. So there's no complicated words or whatever put in there so people aren't left scratching their heads like fucking apes wondering what they just said. Not that most people are, but they do it for a reason. Because my theory is the simpler it is, the easier it is to slide things past you. It just becomes kind of blasé and just becomes all like, almost like when you see Bart listening to a teacher talking on The Simpsons, you hear blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing for us. When nothing strikes in and all sounds the same, it all just goes through unnoticed. And then occasionally you'll have a hiccup with this, like, the NSA thing where they say, oh, my God, they're wiretapping us. No surprise. I mean, we've all joked about it for years, and now it seems like it might have been somewhat confirmed. But when you hear a clicker pop on a radio show or on a personal phone call, oh, someone's listening. Who knows if Mick McGuire had this time? But like I said, everything in our media is written on a fifth grade level. It's there to, in some ways, stupefy you, I think, or really, that's what I really think.
Yeah. I keep trying to come back to the concept that yes, these things are dangerous to the idea of any sort of a free society, Jeremy. But this is, I'm trying to use little words too, for my own benefit. These things are dangerous to a free society. This is not a free society. I mean, how hard is that to comprehend? And I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that to us, you know, at large. What has to happen before we understand that the United States is smoke and mirrors and talk about freedom, but very little living of it?
And as a whole, the horn, Malloy State, people like that, I think we all understand. I think a lot of people understand that, but a lot of people don't want to look in. It's kind of like Malloy says, and you know, I've heard you say it once or twice, too. If you stare into the abyss, it stares back at you. Now, if you look at us, I mean, if you stare long enough, it'll start staring back at you. If you look long enough into our history, and the things we've done in the name of freedom and protecting the American way and this and that and the governments we've taken up, taken down, the people we've killed for basically corporate benefit, it's pretty damn depressing.
Well, look, I mean, because I'm here in D.C., Jeremy, you know what a history nerd I am. Well,
right.
Back behind the Supreme Court building and back behind this building that we're in, there's an entire neighborhood of late Victorian architecture. And it's freaking beautiful. And hardly any of it was there. Just bear with me for a minute. Hardly any of that was there in 1865. But we learned something in 1865. Actually, we learned something between 1861 and 1865, and that was we learned about debt. We learned that you can run deficits and that you can prosper while you do it. Because the Civil War was financed by bond sales. The people who bought the bonds were the huge New York and internationally based and Philadelphia based banking houses in Chicago and what have you. And those bond sales financed the Civil War. And after the Civil War was over, you had a whole new America. It really was a revolution of a sort. You know, the little Confederate creeps and stuff like to say that the Confederacy was the second American Revolution. No, the whole Civil War was the second American Revolution. And it redefined what we would understand as government. It brought in the rise of what is called the administrative state, where you've got administrative agencies that are doing the business of governing outside really much in the way of oversight from the Congress. And so you've got this massive boom of home building back behind where the Supreme Court now stands. And what you find, and that's nothing more than a living reminder of the way the government and the way our idea of government has transformed itself over the years. Because, frankly, I think you can argue that the framers of the Constitution would have been quite shocked to see what they then saw. You know, the capital that they designed was too little for the young country by 1850. It had a wing for the House and a wing for the Senate, and the Supreme Court met wherever it could find a little room to meet, and everybody had offices there. And the representatives and senators who would come for the congressional sessions slept two to a bed in a boarding house. And so by 1855 or so, there are two new wings, one for the Senate, one for the House, built onto the Capitol that had become too small. And by 1909, they're building the first office buildings for the House and the Senate. It's Cannon on the House side, and it's Russell on the Senate side. And you see a government that is transforming itself, and yes, may still have something to do with with the people itself, but it has never, ever, ever had a damn thing to do with democracy. And so when, you know, to the extent that this whole domestic spying thing is centering on democracy, well, it's a false argument. And I guess I get a little bit frustrated when I realize that this has been going on for over a damn decade now. And now this libertarian guy who used to write for the Cato Institute has this alleged scoop. And suddenly it's an issue? Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, when I smell poo, I say I smell poo. And this smells like poo.
It sure does. I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at the situation because you're 100% correct.
I try really hard not to allow myself to be conned. And I feel there's a con at work here. This is a great big three-card Monte game.
And in large part,
it's happening because the Glenn Greenwalds and the Alex Joneses of the world are actually better at this than honest people. Because, see, that's the advantage that a con man has over an honest person. The con man knows he's running a con. The only thing an honest person can do is hope that her honest nature will preserve her so that she can see cons when they're coming. This is a con. This is a fraud. This is a set piece. This is theater. This is not real. I mean,
question is, what is this being used to distract us from, though?
That's hard to say, but then again, never try to con a con, because lo and behold, one story that broke today, now that this is all out there, is that the Obama administration is going to withdraw its objection to emergency contraception. it's something that there should never have been an issue over, but I laughed out loud when I saw that. Because, again, I can see the manipulation going on. You know, what's his name, Clapper, the national security guy, declassified the PRISM program and declassified more of it in hopes of putting out this little fire that Glenn Greenwald started.
Right. And then, again, we have Obama coming out not too long ago, within the last month or so. He's come out and said that whistleblowers are a great thing. Bless them. We need them. And as soon as they step up against him and blow smoke in his face, he stomps them out.
Yeah.
He goes after them without any prejudice and takes them down as hard as he can. There's a chilled silence in there because of what that man does. And when you say you try really hard not to be conned, I feel the same way about him.
Well, yeah. Oh, no. I'm not saying that there's only one con artist in the room. That's the whole point, Jeremy. The whole damn thing is a hustle. And it starts with the use of the word democracy.
Right.
This is an empire. Why in God's name is anybody surprised that an empire is behaving like an empire? I mean, it just blows the doors off.
I guess we're not really surprised. We're more in shock. But, hey, you got to go. You got 4 minutes. So
I'm going to try to get one more call in. Thanks, Jeremy. I really appreciate you waiting.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Take care. And we will go right back to the phones and one last call to end the evening. I'm sorry for all the technical glitches, but sometimes the machine behaves and sometimes the machine doesn't behave. But I wanted to get this in from Jay. He said, oh, my God, I first thought Philip should get a toaster, but on second thought, maybe a Pulitzer would be more in order. Yeah, Philip's good. It's hard to get any malarkey past Philip. By the way, thanks you two. We are at $105 for fundraising for the evening. I think we can find the other $105, but that's me, and I harbor a little bit of optimism yet in my world. Mark is with us.
Hey, Bob, I was just going to listen to the show tonight, and I was riding around after I had dinner with my ex-wife at the Mexican restaurant here. And I heard you say you were talking about the guy, what's his name, the young kid that's turned himself in.
Snowden.
Yeah, Snowden.
Well,
and
he hasn't turned himself in. He's just out. I mean, he's in Hong Kong, but.
Yeah, he turned himself in to the Hong Kong authorities called the Gold Brothers probably. But I was in the back room watching the television when this big breaking news story, and I just casually looked up at his face and I said, that guy doesn't seem too excited about anything, and I had the television on mute, and I don't think I really even listened to him say anything yet, and you could just look, and then your observation tonight about he doesn't show much anxiety, no, you don't have to be all fidgety and stuff, but I mean. You know, even, Scott Ritter, who, you know, the registered Republican and former Marine Corps major and the senior weapons inspector for the American delegation, the United Nations team to find weapons of mass distraction, when he spoke, his emotions come out in him. He's a human being, even though he's a well-trained Marine Corps officer. This guy last night was just so casual. I said, well, hell, that. And I just kept it on mute, and just listening to you tonight, it just seems like a story. I did want to mention that when Bill calls in from Ohio, I love to listen to him, and I'm Cleveland, and I've got some buddies that I work with in my business that are hardcore Clevelanders, and it'd be neat if Bill is ever able to say whatever clubs he. Does go out to. My buddies have guys down in the, I guess the old rough part of Cleveland, which they've fixed up some parts of it, and they, and a couple, actually all of my buddies are now retired from the Carpenters Union that I ran with, but on my way up to New York, I swung through Cleveland and went out with one of my friends there, and he kind of showed me around. But Bill, when he calls back, if he's ever able to let us know what club, it would be kind of neat to know. I think there may be some people that my buddies would know him or know, obviously, maybe. And then I am familiar with the USS Liberty and then the Wizard of Oz connection with Frank L. Baum, and then the agricultural reporter in South Dakota, and then the movie always seems so mysterious to me, and then when I saw the music guy who wrote the music, a good portion of it, his 70-year-old son was on Democracy Now! Explaining, Yip Harburg Jr. was on there, along with Amy Goodman explaining what a lot of the music was, and then what people thought that the different, the scarecrow was the farmer that couldn't stand on his own 2 feet, and the bee very scared, the guy on the...
And the tin man is the failure of mechanization, and the cowardly lion is the environment that's being encroached upon. Absolutely. Like I said, the worst thing that ever happened to that series of books was making a children's movie out of it.
It was kind of a spooky movie to me, a little bit as a kid with
the flying monkeys scared me to death.
Same here, man.
Hey, Mark, I got a roll, brother, but it's good to hear from you, my friend.
All right, Bob.
You take care.
Good luck, TV. All right, brother.
Bye now. Mark calling from Florida. It is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for helping make this what it is. And all I can do is tell you that I call them like I see them. And I've got a mile-wide BS detector. And there is something about Glenn Greenwald that just makes the klaxons just run at 11. And so when something like that happens, I'm going to tell you. And we will form our own opinions. And I think that's a decent way to run things, don't you? Thanks, everybody, for making all this happen. Thanks for the $45 that get us closer to our fundraising goal for the evening. Thank you very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and acact.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.